Fuel, booze, and tobacco taxes go up. Try not to think about the lost revenue from all of the bans on booze and tobacco and the fact that we hardly consumed any fuel at all during April last year during the hard lockdown. Excise duties are an easy tax because they're collected directly from manufacturers and they are directly related to the amount of whatever product it is that you consume. So if you want to be more patriotic, drink a case of beer. And that's as long as you don't go and drive or pick a fight with anyone. If you drink water, it costs you nothing. So it's a consumption tax. Vinpro, the industry body, is most unimpressed. They were tweeting today that the 8% increase that we're going to see in wine excises will be a final blow to many wine businesses already on their knees because all businesses are suffering with increases in minimum wages, 15% electricity increases coming through. So it's pushing a lot that were on the brink over the edge. But there is big and good news, and that is a planned cut in the corporate tax rate from 28% to 27%. And you're not being left out either, because there's no increase in personal taxes, rather some relief with bracket creep, putting a little bit more money in your pocket. So we got hold of Hayley Goodwin-Parry this afternoon, and she was telling us, she's an expert in personal finance, whether this was a good or a bad news budget.
And the good news is that there are no tax increases for consumers this year. And in fact, government has adjusted tax brackets by 5%, which is higher than inflation. So that means in real term, most people, but particularly our lower and middle income earners, will have a little bit of extra money in their pockets after they've paid tax every month. So that's the good news coming out of the budget. The bad news is that we are going to be paying more for our sin taxes, i.e. for people who are spending their after-tax income on alcohol and cigarettes.
That's not bad news. It's good news. Should have charged more. The finance minister used about 3,900 words to deliver the budget message this year. That's 2,000 words fewer than last year, and that perhaps is indicative of the budget itself. Now, just because there were no nasty shocks and it's being touted as a good news budget, not for a moment should you think that we are out of the woods.
An incorrect notion has taken hold that government is swimming in cash. Certainly, compared to October last year, we are in a much better situation. But our assessment from the supplementary budget time in June last year still stands. Our public finances are dangerously overstretched. Our borrowing requirement will remain well above 500 billion rand in each year of the medium term, despite the modest improvements in our fiscal position. Consequently, gross loan debt will increase from 3.95 trillion in the current fiscal year to 5.2 trillion in 2023-24. We owe a lot of people a lot of money.
He sounds like a mobster who is a little bit worried about how the debts are going to be collected. Bada boom, bada bing. We owe a lot of people a lot of money. That amount of money is going to grow. And that, I think, is a big concern. Isa Mtlanga is the chief economist at Alexander Forbes. That debt burden, is it pretty much as we predicted? Is it slightly lower, perhaps, by 2025 than you might have feared?
Bruce, it's much better than what was tabled in the October MTBPS last year by about 5% of GDP. That's 250 billion equivalent. But also, if you just consider this overrunning tax revenues, it enabled Treasury to do things, to do two things. One, in terms of government spending, is no longer a deep negative that we had last year. But still, there is a contraction. Two, the fiscal deficit is much smaller compared to what we had, which means it's a good budget for bond markets, but it's also a good budget for equity markets. So either side, you will be rewarded from this budget. But however, we still have execution risk. particularly if you consider that much of the fiscal consolidation is locked, as much as it comes from better tax revenues, we still have the wage bill doing the bigger adjustment. And we know government and labor unions are going to negotiate, and there is no way labor will negotiate for a zero increase.
And here's the point. I mean, here is the point when we look at this and say we're in a better position than we were in October. And as the finance minister says, we're not out of the woods. We're in the woods. The trees have grown over us. He's in there with a panga. He's hacking away at the bush, trying to create a new fiscal path. Has he got a fighting chance?
Absolutely. We do have a fighting chance with this, welcome windfall in Texas, which is not going to be repeated in most likelihood, especially if you consider Treasury's own growth projections. They do not inspire confidence beyond 2021 because they moderate to 2.2% and moderate below 2%, which means Treasury does not believe in the government's economic reform program. If it did, those growth forecasts will be higher. But perhaps it is conservatism that they are trying to do, because historically they have tended to overestimate growth, overestimate tax revenues, and plan on the basis of taxes that are not collected yet. So this time around, I say caution, plan on the basis of lower growth. If you do get lucky and things get better, we'll have another tax windfall like we had now.
Thank you to Isam Klanga, Chief Economist at Alexander Forbes, to Edward Kiswetter, now Commissioner at the South African Revenue Service. You've had a busy money-collecting 6 months, Commissioner.
Bruce, the amount of taxes we collect is a function of the state of the economy and the effective administration of the tax laws. We've had a bit of both that leads us to the 100 billion more than the minister had announced in October. So we've seen a faster than expected recovery, albeit driven by some commodity prices in the platinum and gold industry, but we've banked that. But I think encouraging for us, as part of the rebuilding of SARS, we're also beginning to see the early signs of the impact of a well-managed revenue service. Now, I would be the first to say we still have a long way to go, but we've seen more effective collection of debt. We've seen more a significant increase in the number of litigation cases that are won in our favor. We've seen a lot of use of data, machine learning algorithms and AI, and all of this collectively, it's not one single silver bullet. It's a number of little things we are doing, which has also created the opportunity for the minister to hold back on the 40 billion that he said he would have to raise taxes by, and instead, create and use the additional fiscal space to provide the 2.2 billion for income tax earners and to start signaling the downward trend in corporate income taxes. So, yes, we are busy, but it's the right kind of busy. But we have a lot of work together. On the fiscal sustainability, we are not out of the woods.
Yeah.
Approaching 90% of debt to GDP is not a nice place to be. If you're paying almost 21 cents in every rand collected just to service your debt, not even to pay the principal, you're not in a good space. But I think it's about the choices we make now, and we've seen some good choices, and then more importantly, it's about the effective implementation, and that's always where we sometimes let ourselves down.
Shifting the tax brackets puts a little bit of extra money into all of our pockets, and we saw today a little bounce in banks, a bounce in retailers. But there was also the big announcement today, and that is that 3 years' time, companies are going to pay less tax, from 28% down to 27%. By global standards, still fairly high, but an improvement. There have been calls for this for a long time. What do you anticipate the effect of that reduction in corporate tax will be?
Bruce, I think that, first of all, it's an important signal, and it's not a once-off cut. The minister last year, will recall, said that he wants our tax rates to approximate the general levels of OECD rates, which is in the lower 20s. We are currently at 28. So this is a down payment signal to a journey that the minister has consistently repeated. But the quid pro quo for that is on the supply side, one would hope the multiplier effect will be that companies will use some of this relief to extend the productive investment productive capability and to create more jobs. And that obviously has a good virtuous impact on the economy. And then secondly, on attracting investment into South Africa, hopefully that is a strong signal. But most importantly, I think what the markets reacted to was the message of certainty. You know, capital wants certainty. And what the minister did today to make this announcement, even though it's a year ahead of its implementation, is to give the market certainty. And of course, on the balance of that is effective administration. We still have too many areas of abuse in base erosion and profit shifting practices, transfer pricing, the abuse of assessed losses. Those are all areas where we're beginning to focus. So if you actually expand your base, improve your collection and administrative capability, it creates a headroom for the minister to be true to his promise.
Now, I mean, one final thought. I mean, last night we had in our advertising feature the SARS ad encouraging people to pay their taxes because we've got so much to be grateful for. The COVID workers, all of those things got hero status. But it must be incredibly frustrating for you still as the SARS commissioner to not only under-collect on taxes because people are ducking and diving faster than a Springbok rugby player at a World Cup final, but also you've got this situation where it is incredibly, incredibly frustrating for you to collect the taxes and then to have some of it, so much of it stolen through PPE tender fraud and all of these other things.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, as an ordinary South African, not even as the commissioner of SARS, One is infuriated by the level of corruption. We saw the PPE levels of corruption. And let me tell you, we are actively working. We've already collected, close to 175 million of those taxes, people who just defraud the system. And it's often state-sponsored corruption, which should outrage South Africans. And then that has people have the moral justification. So, yes, our work is made hard by inefficient government spending where that will happen and by corrupt procurement practices. So I am unapologetic and I speak out to my colleagues in government to say, while we don't allocate money, the extent and the quality of money spent directly impacts on the morality of the tax morality of South Africa and therefore directly impacts on my work. So I feel that I need to speak out and speak truth to that power, and I won't hold back on that because it does, as you say, make my work so much harder. But you know, thankfully, there are diligent, hardworking men and women at SARS who, despite all of that, continue to, knuckle down and do their work, and that is what wakes us up in the morning and inspires us to do the work we do.
Edward Kiesvetter, the SARS Commissioner, thank you for joining us this evening on The Money Show.